This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of lateral patellar compression syndrome from the knee and sports section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Lateral patellar compression syndrome is the improper tracking of the patella in the trochlear groove, generally caused by a tight lateral retinaculum. Diagnosis is made clinically with pain with compression of the patella and moderate lateral facet tenderness, and sunrise knee radiographs will often show patellar tilt in the lateral direction. Treatment is non-operative with physical therapy focusing on quadriceps stretching and strengthening. Operative lateral retinaculum release is indicated in refractory cases. Now let's get into the episode. Starting with etiology, the mechanism of lateral patellar compression syndrome is caused by a tight lateral retinaculum, which leads to excessive lateral tilt without excessive patellar mobility. Associated conditions with lateral patellar compression syndrome is what's known as the miserable triad, which is a term coined for anatomic characteristics that lead to an increased Q angle and an exacerbation of patellofemoral dysplasia. They include femoral antiversion, genu valgum, and external tibial torsion / pronated feet. Now, let's talk about presentation of lateral patellar compression syndrome. So patients will present with pain with stair climbing, as well as the theater sign, which is pain with sitting for long periods of time. Physical exam may reveal pain with compression of the patella and moderate lateral facet tenderness. These patients may also have inability to evert the lateral edge of the patella. As far as imaging, radiographs will reveal patellar tilt in the lateral direction. Treatment of lateral patellar compression syndrome can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes NSAIDs, activity modification, and therapy. This is the mainstay of treatment and should be done for an extensive period of time. Therapy should emphasize vastus medialis strengthening and closed-chain short-arc quadriceps exercises. Operative options include arthroscopic lateral release and patellar realignment surgery. The indications for arthroscopic lateral release is objective evidence of lateral tilting, whether neutral or negative tilt, pain refractory to extensive rehabilitation, inability to evert the lateral edge of the patella. Keep in mind that the ideal candidate has no symptoms of instability. Other indications include medial patellar glide of less than one quadrant and lateral patellar glide of less than three quadrants. As far as patellar realignment surgery, the options include the McKay technique, otherwise known as tubercle anteriorization, the Elmslie-Trelat procedure, which is a medialization procedure, and the Fulkerson alignment surgery, which is tubercle anteriorization and medialization. The McKay technique, again which is tubercle anteriorization, is indicated only for distal pole lesions. Remember to only elevate 1 centimeter or else there is a risk of skin necrosis. The Elmslie-Trelat technique, which is a medialization procedure, is indicated only for instability with lateral translation, not isolated lateral tilt. Be sure to avoid this option if there is medial patellar facet arthrosis. Finally, a Fulkerson alignment surgery, which again is a tubercle anteriorization and medialization procedure, has controversial indications, but can include lateral and distal pole lesions and an increased Q angle. Contraindications to the Fulkerson alignment surgery include superior medial arthrosis, therefore you should scope before you perform the surgery, and another contraindication is skeletal immaturity. Now, let's end this review session talking about the arthroscopic lateral release in a bit more detail. As far as the technique, viewing through the superior portal will show that the medial facet does not articulate with the trochlea at 40 degrees of knee flexion. Be sure there is adequate hemostasis that is obtained, and postoperatively, the patella should be able to be passively tilted 80 degrees. Complications of an arthroscopic lateral release include persistent or worsened pain, as well as patellar instability with medial translation. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic might be tested. First question. A 13-year-old gymnast presents with ongoing knee pain for the past few months. She tried conservative measures including kinesiotaping, physical therapy, and rest. On physical exam, she has normal valgus alignment, negative patellar tilt, and discomfort with resisted open-chain knee extension. AP lateral and Merchant radiographs show a normal knee in a skeletally immature individual. There are no osseous abnormalities identified. What is the most likely clinical diagnosis? And the choices are 1, patellofemoral syndrome, 2, bipartite patella, 3, stress fracture of the distal femur, 4, patella alta, and 5, patella baja. The The correct answer to this question is 1, patellofemoral syndrome. So based on the history, physical examination, and radiographic findings, this patient has patellofemoral syndrome. Evaluation of a patient with patellofemoral pain requires a physical examination and plain radiographs. Appropriate examination of all structures around the knee is critical to rule out other diagnoses. An MRI is useful for evaluating intra-articular or intraosseous lesions if clinical suspicion is suggestive of this. Treatment is predominantly conservative, with focus on low-impact exercises that maximize aerobic conditioning. Earl et al. Reviewed the epidemiology, etiology, and management of patellofemoral syndrome. They note that there is no clear cause of this issue, although issues related to the quadriceps and dynamic malalignment may be contributory. Moving on to the next question. An 18-year-old female has 9 months of anterior knee pain, recalcitrant to physical therapy that includes VMO strengthening, NSAIDs, and lifestyle modification. On physical examination, she has no effusion in the knee, and her Q angle is measured at 15 degrees. She has less than 1 quadrant of medial patellar translation and less than 2 quadrants of lateral patellar translation. The lateral edge of the patella is unable to be everted. A merchant view radiograph shows lateral patellar tilt. The tibia tubercle trochlear groove distance is measured as 14 millimeters on a CT scan. Which of the following procedures is most appropriate? And the choices are 1, lateral retinacular release, 2, anterolateral tibial tubercle osteotomy, 3, anterior tibial tubercle osteotomy, otherwise known as the McKay technique, 4, medial tibial tubercle osteotomy, otherwise known as the Elmslie-Trelant technique, and 5, medial plica resection. The correct answer to this question is 1, lateral retinacular release. So the patient's radiograph and clinical presentation are consistent with lateral patellar tilt and lateral facet compression syndrome, respectively. Of the options available, lateral retinacular release is the most appropriate treatment. The surgical treatment for this condition is rare and used only in cases that are recalcitrant to conservative measures. Cowper et al. Present level 4 evidence of 169 lateral retinacular release cases. They divided this cohort into patients less than and older than 40 years of age. They found that both groups had a statistically significant improvement in Lisholm scores, and there were only 3 patients with complications, which was fibrosis at the site of lateral release. To quickly go over the incorrect responses, answer 2, anterolateral tibial tubercle osteotomy is incorrect, as a lateral tibial tubercle transfer would lead to an elevated TT-TG distance and malalignment. Answer 3, anterior tibial tubercle osteotomy, otherwise known as the McKay technique, is incorrect, as an anterior transfer would further tension the lateral retinaculum and increase the negative tilt. Answer 4, medial tibial tubercle osteotomy, otherwise known as the Elmslie-Trelant technique, is incorrect, as a medial transfer is not indicated for a normal TT-TG distance. Finally, answer 5, medial plica resection is incorrect, as the clinical scenario does not report a symptomatic plica. And moving on to the final question, a 21-year-old female presents with left knee pain for 6 months. The symptoms are worse climbing stairs and sitting for long periods of time. On physical exam, she has a stable knee with no effusion and pain with compression of the patella. Her Q angle is 21 degrees. What is the first step in management? And the choices are 1, arthroscopic lateral retinacular release, 2, tubercle elevation and medialization, 3, strict immobilization and non-weight bearing for 4 weeks, 4, open chain exercises and a focus on seated leg extensions, and 5, closed chain exercises with focus on quadriceps and hamstring strengthening. The correct answer to this question is 5, closed chain exercises with focus on quadriceps and hamstring strengthening. So this patient has anterior knee pain with an increased Q angle. Normal is 17 degrees in a female. The first line of treatment is physical therapy. Rehab should focus on isometrics and closed chain exercises. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, arthroscopic lateral retinacular release, and answer 2, tubercle elevation and medialization are both incorrect, as surgery would not be indicated as the first line of treatment. Answer 3, strict immobilization and non-weight bearing for 4 weeks is incorrect, as immobilization would lead to deconditioning and stiffness and is not indicated. Finally, answer 4, open chain exercises and a focus on seated leg extensions is incorrect, as open chain exercises with seated leg extensions can cause further wear and irritation of the patellofemoral joint. Hungerford et al. Investigated the patellofemoral joint reaction force during closed chain exercises versus open chain exercise. They found an increase in the patellofemoral joint reaction force during open chain exercises and with seated leg extensions that can cause further wear and irritation of the patellofemoral joint. That's all for this review about lateral patellar compression syndrome. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.